Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Here we are in the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, and I just love this town and love the people here and love my work, and just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, and I hope you're going to have a wonderful New Year as we go into that this week, and just wishing you peace and safety and all the things that you hope for, and I just hope that you had as stress-free Christmas as Christmas could be this year, but that you enjoyed family. And if you didn't have family, that you just enjoyed time being with whatever you enjoy doing. And we hope that it was a good holiday season for you. Tonight, we would really like to invite everybody just to not only listen in, but we're going to it's amazing that this work that we do, and Sue Fort White is with me tonight from Nashville, Tennessee, a wonderful city where my son and two grandchildren and his wife live, and she's the executive director of Our Kids and has been doing that for 14 plus years, and she has literally devoted her life to helping people get access to information. And I think I posted, if I know how to do it, I tried to, Sue, tonight, first of all, just welcome to the program for part two of our conversation that we started last week. I knew we'd get going and just chase some rabbits and talk and just enjoy each other. But welcome back to Breaking the Silence. Sue, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Greg.
Well, wonderful to have you. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas season.
I did.
Good. Good. Did you get any snow?
No, we didn't. We got lots of sunshine, and now we have rain. But we went on lots of family walks with the dog, and we baked cookies and did all kinds of things. Very sweet holiday.
Well, that's wonderful. So there'll be some cookies in the mail for me. I presume they're coming anytime. So. Well, just welcome.
Well, yes.
Back. I just love your spirit. I love your mission and your purpose in life. And I love your website, whatifitoldyou.com. And I tried to, I got on there this afternoon and tried to share it on my Facebook page. And I hope it did that. If not, I'm going to ask Curtis, my son, to go ahead and do that. But I tried to share the video. So if you have a chance to get on whatifitoldyou.com, watch that video, or go right to my Shattered by the Darkness webpage, and you can actually do that, or on the Facebook page. And hopefully the key is there to be able to hit that and watch this video. And I have 10 different directions I want to go tonight, but I just got a call about 15 minutes ago, right before it came on air. And this is what, I don't know, Sue, I every time I hear this and every time I get involved in this, it tells me why I am still on this earth. And this lady, Connie, from Detroit, Michigan, called me and was totally distraught. And just a few minutes ago, and said that she found out today that her 11-year-old daughter was sexually abused by her stepfather over the Christmas holidays. And Sue, you deal with this every day at our kids. And I know this is a kind of a not so pleasant way to start the program, but to me, the program's about helping people. This
exactly
is called
right.
life. And life sometimes isn't pleasant. So I want to just jump into this. So if Connie was sitting in front of you right now in Nashville, Tennessee, because she's listening, I told her to get on this program and listen live to us and get this information. What would be the first few things that you would share with Connie and even possibly her daughter, if she was sitting in front of you too, about what happened over Christmas?
Well, Greg, I think that first of all, I would say to Connie, you know, I'm sorry that this has happened.
Yeah.
And yet I am thankful that your daughter told you or that you found out that this has happened so that you can believe and protect your daughter and that you can get her the help she needs and you the help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is to send the message to her, this is not your fault. You've done nothing wrong. And I think if Connie were sitting with me right now, I would just look at her and I would say, you are resilient. Your child is resilient. And this will not define your child or your family.
Mm-hmm.
You can get through this, and there is expert care in your community.
Yeah. Do you think, in a couple words that you said that I'm writing down as you're talking, because I started writing down a whole list of things, I'm thinking, no, you do this every day. You're the professional. And, you know, I just had the experience, but I'm trying to help people. But you're the one that has the training and the really expertise in this. You said two words that I think is very important. First, believe. And I asked her, one of the first things was, do you doubt the story? And she said, no. And I said, good. I said, please don't. Very rarely. Do you find this, Sue, that very rarely do children lie about this?
They do not. And the greatest gift that Connie can give her daughter is to believe and protect and see her daughter as resilient and as wonderful.
How
and y'all are going to get through this? Well, you're going to get through this, and you're going to, you know, getting some help is going to be really important. Yeah. I mean, you know, if one in, you know, the whole What If I Told You national campaign is about one in four girls and one in seven boys will be sexually abused before age 18. And most people don't even know that child sexual abuse is a thing or whatever. And really, it's an epidemic. And there are national links on What If I Told You. So if, you know, to find the child advocacy center closest to her, she just clicks on National Children's, I think it's called National Children's Alliance. She types in her zip code in the Child Advocacy Center. That's where the forensic interview would take place. That's where many, many child advocacy centers have counseling for children, have counseling for the caregiver. Click on that, put in your zip code, and you find the Child Advocacy Center closest to you. There are experts out there.
Yeah.
That are able to give compassionate, really, really fine care.
With let me play the devil's advocate on this, just try to really get inside your head. If, and Connie said she just heard this news today that it happened over the weekend or over the Christmas break, which was a few days ago, and she just found out. How soon do you get this child in front of professionals? Do you wait a little bit, or do you immediately make those phone calls?
You need to call. Okay, so first of all, you need to call the Public Child Welfare organization in your community. In Tennessee, it's called Department of Children's Services. That's another thing. There is a number on the whatifitoldyou.com website that any place you are in the country, you can call this number and you can report child sexual abuse, and somebody will walk you through that. So, at our kids, you know, we have a particular model, so we triage the situation, and it depends on the last contact with the perpetrator and the type of sexual contact. So, I mean, because we're on call 24/7. So if the triage questions are answered in a way where we say, let's stop, drop, and roll, we get up right now at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we go meet this child and family, do the medical, do the full psychosocial, you know, workup, find out what else is going on, find out how the caregiver is doing. You know, I mean, this is one of the most distressing things that can happen to a family. People need to have the space and time to tell their story. They need support. They really need support. And so, and that's why, you know, that's why we've crafted our practice, our medical practice in Nashville, in such a way where an appointment can be an hour and a half to 4 hours. Yeah. People are, you know, the caregiver's distressed. This is really tough stuff.
Yeah, she was obviously beside herself, and she was blaming herself, and I was trying to, in the few minutes that I had with her, to comfort her with that. This isn't your fault, you know, and I'm a single mom. I didn't know that she was going to be, you know, around this type of person with, you know, and it just went all of that type of situation. And, she was just blaming. So I think she needs help, in the process too.
But she needs to call the authorities. I mean, she needs to call the public child welfare authorities, because every single state, Greg, in this country, we're all mandatory reporters. If
right.
you know something's happened to a child, if you even think that a child is in harm's way for neglect, physical or sexual abuse, it is your obligation. It's a law for you to report that.
Mm-hmm.
So call the public child welfare people there. And like I said, there is a number on the whatifitoldyou.com website. And then she can also find, you know, and they will probably help her or guide her through the process. But there is a child advocacy center in Detroit. In fact, there's probably more than one in a fairly large area. But, you know, people, experts deal with this every day.
Yeah.
And there are people that only deal with child sexual abuse, and they're really good at it, and they're going to help her.
Mm-hmm. Any advice that you would give Connie as she's listening tonight on how to talk about this with her child now that it's out, that news? And I tried to let her know that, you know, try not to react, try to just be supportive, believe, love, embrace, don't point fingers, don't blame, don't get angry, you know, try all those do's and don'ts that you start going down the list. But as the next few days go by, how should she be in the communication role as a parent with this in the back of her mind in front of her daughter?
That is great. That's a great question, Greg. She needs to listen to her child, but she doesn't need to ask a lot of questions. She needs to support her child. And again, let her know that it's not her fault. She's done nothing wrong, and that Connie believes her and will protect her. Stay calm, and I know it's hard, but, you know, children shut down when adults have really, really big emotions. Children shut down, and we need to learn how to stay calm. And again, take action. You know, she, you know, she needs to, you know, she needs to call the authorities, and she needs to start that process. The other thing is, she will need and will receive new tools in her toolbox. And I think that there is something, you know, many times in our lives we come to this threshold and something happens that we would never want to have happen, and we feel flattened. It's soul crushing. I would really invite her into a space to believe that this is an opportunity to get help and to really, really learn some new tools that will make her a better parent and will make her stronger as, you know, as a person. And eventually, I mean, she and her daughter will be more resilient. You know, she just needs to get some help. And I'll tell you something, Greg, you and I both know, and you carried the suffering and the shame and the stigma for decades.
Yeah.
And that became debilitating. And part of why we did What If I Told You, the whole national campaign, is because there are millions of adult survivors out there that are suffering because they're carrying pain that shouldn't even belong to them. And so, Connie, what I'd say to you is, you know, your daughter told you, or you found out, this is a gift. It's sort of irregular grace. You know, and you can do the right thing. You can believe and protect, and y'all are going to be, you know, you are resilient, and you're going to get through this.
Wow, that phrase, irregular grace. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Well, you know, we would never want anything like this to happen to our child, no. Right? Never. Right. You know, so what do we do now? How do we face this? You know, and yeah.
Yeah, and if anybody's listening and they're thinking that I've violated a trust, I asked Connie if I could mention her name, just her first name. I don't even know her last name. That's not important to me. In this situation, it was important that I try to help and get her the right tools. And to mention as a discussion for the program, and she said, absolutely. And she wanted to listen and get all that information. And automatically, she was already in the mode of, if this will help somebody else, please let's talk about it. And that's what we're here for. Is to try to,
I mean, the sheer alarming prevalence of child sexual abuse, she knows, and we know that she's not alone. There are people out there that have a terrible feeling in their gut about a child in their life. And I hope that this inspires them to do something.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many people that have, like you said, a situation in their mind or their, you know, that they're going, I just don't feel comfortable with that. I believe there's, you know, that a parent, at least, if you get that feeling in your stomach that just something's not right, I believe that's God's tickler inside of you, prompting you to act on that. The last thing you want to do is say, I wish I have had done something. It's way better to be proactive on it than try to do it after it's happened and then try to repair it. So if you're uncomfortable with your child going over to somebody's house and spend the weekend or go camping out with a group of guys over the weekend or whatever, if you're just uncomfortable with it and your stomach doesn't feel right, as a parent, it's our obligation to go, you know, honey, I'm sorry, not this time. And instead of, boy, I wish I had acted on that, because I really believe there's natural and a higher level of processing inside of us when you become a mother or a father. I think especially a mother, they have that next sense of something's not right.
Well, and I just think it's really important to stay close to your instincts. And that's, you know, darkness to light and some of these other, you know, things, stewards of children, all this education, community education, it's about having the courage to ask difficult questions. You know, if you've got a weird feeling in your gut and your child wants to go to a slumber party, ask the questions, what kind of supervision's in place? Are there older children? Are they supervised? You know, it's kind of like, do you have guns in your house? Do you have, are you going to let the children be on the internet all night? That's a bad idea. You know, it's like, we just all have to ask those difficult questions. And, you know, for Connie, there is a light for you and your daughter. Get help.
Yeah.
And you are not alone.
Amen. Okay. Good stuff. Connie, if you need to talk anymore, you know my number. Feel free to call at any time. You can email me. I would love to help you through this. But thank you for trusting and reaching out enough to let us in on this, so we can hopefully help you with a few of these tips tonight. But like Sue said, make sure you make that call. And start that process going. That's important. Don't push this under the rug. It's too important. This is life changing stuff that'll affect her for the rest of her life and you. And there's people out there that's going to help you that are professional at this and not embarrass you by any means. They're there to help. So thank you for sharing that with us, Connie. We're going to take our first break, Sue, if that's okay. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your organization a little bit. And then I want to talk about, because you mentioned it just in this situation that we started the program with, resiliency. I'm really, really, really loving learning about the resiliency that a child has and how can we help build that. So we're going to talk about that just on the other side of the break. You are listening to Breaking the Silence with Greg Williams and Sue Fort White this evening. We'll be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Well, thank you, Douglas. We want to welcome you back, and we really would like to get you involved in the conversation tonight. If you have any comments or questions or just something that you'd like to share with us, anything at all that's on your mind and your heart, 888-627-6008. And Douglas will be right there, and he's our producer, and he owns the entire radio program, him and his brother Don, and they do a wonderful job and helping us get this program out around the world and on all the podcasts. Come next week, and feel free to call us, 888-627-6008. Sue Fort White from Nashville, Tennessee, with our kids, the executive director of that wonderful organization. And Sue, when you came out with the video, What If I Told You, do you have any kind of clue of how many views that video has taken on since the conception of that?
We do track metrics, Greg, and the 2-minute video has been viewed over 65,000 times. The website with the national links to all manner of things has been visited, I think, over 33,000 times. And the latest update on this is that the Spanish language version of the 2-minute video just came out a week or so ago. So I think that's really important, too. I think, you know, it's what I said last week. After hearing, thousands of caregivers over the years talk about, I never felt safe enough to share this. I can't carry it anymore myself. I was sexually abused when I was 6 or when I was 11, you know, when I was 9. It was my grandfather. It was my uncle. It was my stepfather. It was my mother's boyfriend. It was my older cousin. You know, and it's just to know that there's so many people, the stigma, the silence really feeds the stigma and the suffering. And we really wanted to, lock arms with you. You're shattering the silence. We're helping break the silence. And we really wanted to bring medicine to adult survivors in this country and sound the alarm to make sure that, you know, parents and people that have children in their lives know that this is an epidemic. It's as one of my my board members who's in marketing, and he always says this is a slow burn, which means that there are peaks when more people go, and I think you're really helping. You're a real champion of it the last 2 weeks, so thank you very much. Our only goal is to reach as many people as possible with information and resources about child sexual abuse.
So you would have no problem if we have, let's say, hundreds of thousands, millions of people listening to the show tonight and then over the podcast, that they all wanted to go on that site and download it on their own individual Facebook page and share it. You'd welcome that, right?
I mean, take me now, Lord. I would love it.
That's what I want everybody to do. Just go on this, and it was simple. if it's on mine, I tried it. I have to go in now because I had the phone call from Connie. I didn't get a chance to see if it was on there. But I sure hit the Facebook button to post it on my site, and if it's not there, I'll make sure it gets there. And everybody needs to do that. You know, we post some of the goofiest things. I don't, because I don't do Facebook, but people post crazy things, you know, what their dog's doing and, you know, what they had for breakfast and all this. Why not, in the middle of all that, you post something that can make an impact on somebody's life that you may have lunch with every day of the week and you don't even know. And this could be the way of breaking through that barrier. And literally, and that's what I love about this, that tool can change people's lives. It's not simple. It's a very well done, professional video. And you have the long version and the short version, but it is so well done. It is not offensive. It is absolutely captivating to watch every second of that. And I just love it. How did the New York, when it was on Broadway the other day, on the streets there, did you ever get any kind of response from any of that?
Yes. I mean, you know, I think that some people saw it and they were like, because it's very invitational, because it's like, what do you mean, what if I told you.com? Like, what is that? So we did get some feedback and it was just fun. We've never been in that kind of a situation. But I want to say one thing about, Connie sharing her struggle right now with you. And I was able to direct her to whatifitoldyou.com. Pretty much every single piece of information that she needs to act with immediately, she can get to from that website. I mean, that's...
Yes.
And, you know, public child welfare, finding the child advocacy center, I mean, all of that stuff. And that's how we crafted it. We wanted it to be intuitive. We want it to be high utility. We want it to be extremely useful, you know, and just what do people need, you know?
Yeah, so. And, you know, literally, I've been looking at it and investigating it, hitting every tab and on the site, and I love how simple it is to navigate in there. If you're an adult, if you're a teenager, if you're a child, so there's all kinds of different options you can hit. Then there's resources you can hit in the drop downs. There's just so many things. So to be honest with you, it would be if somebody at your office tomorrow says, you know, I think my child may be hurting. Something's going on. Direct them to that site. That site has every resource that you need to be able to get that immediate help. And it's awesome, Sue. So I just applaud you. And I know it's award-winning, and you've got all kinds of awards in the community and things of that order for it. But it is really, really, really professionally done.
Thank you.
To switch gears for the remaining part of the program, because next week we're going to have Julie Caplow from Texas Children's Hospital. She's with the Abuse Center at Texas Children's here in Houston, and she's going to talk about the at-need care and the programs they have and the different things in that crisis situation of how to deal with it. So we're going to talk about that more next week also with her and her view. The word resilience, we're all familiar with that expression, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, some of that's true, but not everybody possesses that ability to persevere. Most do. Children do, for sure. How do we, first of all, what's your view of resilience, and how can we build resiliency in children? And then I want to kind of shift it off into the community to how we can actually get communities involved in this. But well, what's your view and your intake of resiliency?
So, Greg, I have done a lot of reading in, about adverse childhood experience, ACEs, and I'm on a leadership team with ACEs Nashville, ACE Nashville, which is All Children Excel. And Tennessee has Building Strong Brains. It's a statewide thing. So it's all based in neuroscience. And what I feel is this. I think that resilience, you do a microcosm and a macrocosm. The microcosm is that resilience is, you know, it requires at least one safe, nurturing, loving adult in a child's life. Because we know the impact of toxic stress. We know the impact of all these, you know, domestic violence and poverty and hunger and community violence on children, you know? And, yeah. And so, I feel really strongly that everyone needs to be pulling in the same direction, and that is to make sure that every child is in a safe, loving, you know, safe, loving home environment, and that they are cared about, that they are seen and cared about and loved in school, you know, and that's about having schools that are not punitive, but that are trauma informed. And I'll stop there because I could go on and on.
Okay. Explain it to me like I'm a third grader. The instead of being punitive, they're trauma informed.
Okay, so,
Carrie and I are going to be, and I know a whole bunch of other people, and you may be going too, going to Atlanta to do, I believe, one of the country's most largest trauma sensitive school conferences. I'll be speaking.
I have some colleagues speaking. That are going.
Yeah, that's great because it's really I'm looking forward to that. When I went to school,
that's what we need to be about.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they paddled us. I mean, they had the old wooden paddles hanging from their desk in the front of their desk, you know, with holes drilled through it. And that's how they kept us in line. If we got out of line, they just bent us over the desk and popped us with some wood. but those days are gone. So instead of being punitive, what do you mean by being trauma sensitive or
So I'm going to just tell you that, you know, Nashville's doing great in some ways. We're struggling in other ways, but we have, last year, we ended expulsionary discipline practices, meaning expulsions, suspensions, and arrests for, and this is going to sound crazy, but pre-K through fourth graders. Wow. So we don't do that anymore. And what we do instead is we have peace corners. We have trained adults to help children co-regulate when they're triggered and they start to flip out. We have, the whole question is, instead of saying, what's wrong with you? Yeah. You know, and thinking in my head, you're a bad child. You're awful. The question becomes, what's happened to you? What's happened to you? What are you struggling with? Because we know that the brain science is, you know, all those connectors and all those brain pathways that help children learn and help children learn how to co-regulate and self-regulate and calm down when they get upset. If they don't have environments when they're babies, and even prenatally, if they're stressed before they're even born, and then they're born into situations where you're not having a mother who's playing serve and return or a caregiver of any kind, looking at the baby, oohing and aahing and responding and loving them and helping them feel safe and building that trust, which is the building block of everything. That trust is the building block.
Yeah.
When you have that, the brain is growing, 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 and they're learning and they're getting all this great feedback from their environment, you know, but when they don't have that, you know, their brains aren't growing properly. They're not developing properly. So your ability to manage all the incoming stimulation is thwarted when you don't have that safe, loving, nurturing environment. So part of what's really exciting is, you know, Tennessee is doing this across the state thing, and the governor's blessed it, and it's, you know, the Department of Children's Services is holding the Building Strong Brains. We've come up with this whole training. We worked with Frameworks, and we're really trying to tip the scales to help everybody understand about building strong brains. We want to build strong brains with our children. The other thing is, in school, when a child is upset, so we've started this was several years ago, and I'm getting a bigger, sort of a bigger playing field, but we started Handle with Care, and it's a partnership between the police department and the school system in Nashville. If a child witnesses anything that could be traumatic, domestic violence, any kind of violence, anything, and the police come, police report's done, the police will find out what school the child goes to. The police will call a special number and say, please be careful with David, or please be careful with, you know, Devontae tomorrow, you know, Handle with Care. And they don't give them, you know, real specifics, but they say, this child could really be struggling tomorrow. You know, I mean, and we really need to see him through that lens of trauma-informed instead of, this child is impossible. He's disrupting my classroom. So trauma-informed schools means that we train everybody, not just the teachers, but the administrators and the custodians and everybody in between, and we have plenty of trained adults to come and assist the child, to support the child, help the child calm down. And, you know, little children have it's hard to self-regulate when you can kind of go, oh, I'm feeling this feeling. I need to go to the peace corner and, you know, play with the glitter ball, you know. Most children can't do that when they're, especially when they're young, because they're too little. They haven't learned that yet. So for an adult, a trained adult, to come into the classroom and go and welcome the child and either take the child to the peace corner or take the child someplace else to calm down, to read a book, or just to whatever is going to help that child. And it may be, you know, walking around in circles or walking. It could be anything. But the fact is, understanding that children that are experiencing really stressful things away from school, if they hear a loud noise, they're going to get triggered, and it's going to look like they're flipping out. But it's their brain just overloaded. I'm blanking on the word right now, but you probably know it. But it's like this. It's too much adrenaline becomes exhausting, and it's a really bad thing for the brain. Really bad over time. Yeah. I think like having that relationship with the police department, and then the police feel differently about it. We've educated them. That's exciting. And now with juvenile court, and we're struggling there too, but we're not struggling in other ways. Like the juvenile court's like going, we're not going to arrest these children. Let's look at it in a different way. Let's work together.
Wow.
What are we going to do that's going to be helpful to the family and the child?
Because if not, it becomes a revolving door if we don't actually get to the core of what's going on in these children's lives. And there's
re-traumatization over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it never gets healed.
And then the child creates, there's creating the child's mind and heart a personal narrative. I'm no good.
Exactly.
I'm bad. You know, and then you just, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm doing this
because I was expected to do this. Yes, exactly. I've been told I was bad, so I'm just going to continue on this route. Why not? Absolutely.
Yeah, when a child feels like they really, like somebody really sees them and really takes an interest in them and really likes them and takes the time to go, well, what are you thinking? Or what would you rather be doing right now? It's that safe, nurturing, positive adult relationship. And, you know, it really, I've heard so many wonderful stories of adult children with sexual abuse, but also adult children who, you know, really had horrible childhoods with domestic violence and extreme poverty and all kind of things going on. And time after time, I've heard, you know, I had this coach or I had this teacher, and even after I graduated from her class, she kept coming back. She kept finding me. She kept showing an interest in me. Like, I see you. I love you.
Yeah.
There is no better message.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're going to take our last break right now. We're going to return back with Breaking the Silence with Greg Williams and our guest tonight, an awesome guest, Sue Fort White. Join us right back after this break.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. We are in our last, about 13 minutes till the program's over. We were Sue Fort White from Nashville with the Our Kids organization. She's executive director up there in the wonderful state of Tennessee. And we've been talking about child abuse and whatifitoldyou.com, and we're on resiliency. And, you know, I talk a lot, Sue, to teachers, high school teachers, junior high teachers, and even preschool daycare teachers, because I think everybody needs to understand that, and I always use this illustration, when Jimmy and Mary are in line waiting to go get out to recess, and Mary pushes Jimmy, and Jimmy just turns around and elbows Mary right in the face at 4 years old. That most in the olden days, teachers would look at Jimmy and go, "That's just a rotten kid. What are we doing?" I try to teach the instructors and the daycare workers and the teachers that to me, that should be a red flag of, wait, that's an overreaction of a normal behavior that shouldn't be that aggressive. That would automatically in me throw a red flag up of, wait, something may be going on in that child's life. And in that, that's what I look at least what I'm using with teachers. That's what trauma-informed, trauma-sensitive places are to me, that when you see something that is totally beyond normal behavior, it ought to, instead of us condemning and looking away and categorizing that person, we ought to just do the opposite. We ought to reach out, embrace, and go, "Are you okay? What's going on? What's on your mind? How can we help you through this? What would be a better reaction next time?" And give mm-hmm. them tools to be able to handle that kind of thing. And I think it's awesome what you're doing up there in Nashville. I think every school system ought to have this type of training, not only for the teachers, but for the parents, for the community, the social, yeah. Everybody ought to have resilience training, because I looked up here, I just typed in resilience during the break. This here is from a site, a psychology site. It says resilience is the process of capacity for or outcome of successful adaptation despite challenging or threatening circumstances.
Exactly. Okay, so I would like to recommend to the listening audience a documentary called Resilience, and it features the pediatrician Nadine Burks Harris. But it is a fabulous, fabulous thing. And the other thing that I think is important is your fellow Texans in Dallas at the Momentous Institute, and they are some of my colleagues and partners. They have taught me that it's not social-emotional learning, it's social-emotional health. And if we get that right, then everything else falls into place. If we can make sure that every single child, you know, feels safe and learns how to co-regulate and self-regulate and you know, learn, you know, essentially feel safe and loved and cared for, and finds what they are interested in, and it's a health, it's a overall overarching health thing. It's not just learning, it's overall well-being. But you get there through the vehicle of trauma-informed lens and resilience.
That's great. And I know ACEs Connection has all kinds of resources and information and videos and presentations and workshops on where you can go on there and literally just you could spend a week, 24 hours a day, a solid week, just reading and learning and studying. And there's so many great resources on there too. So there's no reason why we shouldn't understand what this is all about. But I think it's really awesome that
connection. They are awesome. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Jane and their whole family is just doing a wonderful job. Carrie and all the people, they are family to me. They're just, I just love them. They're great. I highly recommend.
Well, Ingrid Cochran is a friend of mine, and she's on the ACE Nashville leadership team here in Nashville. So, and she's with ACE's Connection. So, yeah,
I was on there the other day, right? And they recommended, or it was in one of the articles. And people post stuff, you know, I post stuff about the radio show and things of that order. People blog and all that. It's just wonderful information. They posted a PBS television program that talked about the brain development in a baby, prenatal, in the womb, and the trauma that the mother endures can affect the brain development of that fetus. I immediately went to my boss, Dr. Michael Belford, and some people there at Baylor College of Medicine. I said, okay, here we are. We're one of the best colleges, medicine colleges in the world. Can we not do something to progress this research? And I work in the OB-GYN department. So we're getting together some of the MFM, the maternal fetal medicine doctors, and some of the experts at Baylor College of Medicine. And we're going to try to come up with some research to be able to work on the trauma that mothers endure while they are going through their pregnancies. And I honestly feel that a lot of miscarriages aren't just by chance, that they are stress-related from something that mom went through as a child, possibly. And there's some research on it, but I think we could take it to another level. I'm just excited about it. And I got that just off ACE's Connection by finding that link and hit a show and watching and go, wow, this is powerful. We can take this to another level.
You know, this is one more example of how you are using your influence and your voice for good. I'm so excited about how you walk on the earth, and I'm so thankful that we have become friends. You will be getting some Happy New Year cookies this week.
Well, I sure appreciate that. I'll get all the cookies I can get. That's wonderful. Well, Sue, I tell you,
just to hear how excited you are. I love it.
Well, you know, the book I have coming out, that first question in my book, the first line is, could it possibly be that the worst experience, the worst pain you've ever endured is the key to the purpose for the rest of your life? And it is. And I just told my church this morning that it's so awesome. After 50 some years, within the last year, I finally found out my purpose in life. And when you fall into that path, that journey, life doesn't get any better than this. This is perfect. And Sue, I can tell by your voice, I can tell by your work, I can tell by your passion, you know exactly why you are put on this earth. And I just love when I run into people and get to befriend people. When we get to just join hands and try to make a difference. And I appreciate you.
I feel thankful and blessed every day because I do know exactly. I hear the call and I'm faithful to the call.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And just tell me, because we only have a couple more minutes as we wind this down. And before we do sign off, because usually Doug will say, okay, you got 30 seconds. But I want to thank you for the last 2 weeks. And I want to thank you for your work. And your passion, your heart, your words, and just keep being the champion that you are. And it's going to take one day you will see all the people that it affected, and it'll just take your breath away. What do you want 2020 to be for you professionally and in this work? What would you love for it to turn into in the next year as we go into a new year?
Well, as one of my favorite poets and authors, David White, says,
yeah.
don't we want to be a shave braver and a shave more generous? So I want to be braver and more generous in my work. And I am lifting that up to my maker and asking for clarity about that. Because I know that we're on the right path, but it's like, how do we amplify that? So yes, I want to be braver and more generous.
A shade braver and a shade more generous. April yeah. will love that saying. When you gave the saying from White at Christmas on her Hope for the Holidays program, she immediately emailed me and said, oh, can I have that full quote? What was that? And it was beautiful. And I love the book that you sent me. That is definitely a keeper of sitting by and just picking it up and reading the words in that book. That's awesome.
I'm so glad you like it. That's wonderful. And thank you for being a champion for whatifitoldyou.com. Thank you.
Well, we're going to put it on. We're just going to ask everybody to do that also. Go on to that site, whatifitoldyou.com. Post it on your Facebook, on all your social media. Just send it out tonight to everybody on your email list. And also get on shatteredbythedarkness.com. And if there's anything that we can do for you, my contact information is right there, and people call me right on my private line at 832-396-6525. And if I'm available, I'll pick up and talk. If not, leave a message, and I promise I'll get right back to you. Sue, thank you so much, and just have an awesome 2020. And I know that we'll be crossing paths here pretty shortly. And I just appreciate your work, and just keep on being the champion you are. And thank you for the last 2 weeks. I appreciate you.
Bless, keep, and protect.
Okay, thank you, Sue. We just want to let you know that no matter what you are involved in right now, no matter if you're just in a situation like Connie called in earlier tonight and told me about, I want to just encourage you, no matter what you're into, no matter what's happening around you, no matter what you've been through, there's always hope. There's always, always hope. Never give up on that four-letter word, because it's there for you. As long as there's breath, there's hope for you. Hang on to it. May you have a blessed new year, and we'll see you next year, next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.